There is no federal government program, no insurance policy, and no medical procedure that can prevent you and I from dying. For most of us, life seems too relentless to spend much time thinking about death. But coming to grips with our own mortality is a sobering thing we all need to do. Today, more about facing the end the way Jesus did. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series on Running to Win is all about what happens 1 minute after you die. In this, his final message, Erwin Lutzer discusses the providence of God in the death of a Christian and how some of us remain fearful of that final moment.
Today I'm speaking to some of you who have confronted death. You have had to look at it. The doctor has come to you and told you some news that you thought to God would maybe be true of somebody else, but not you. You're reminded of your mortality. You're reminded of the fact that not a one of us has a day guaranteed. And you say to yourself, how can I possibly approach that moment recognizing that I might die? Well, the answer, of course, is this, that God gives us dying grace when we need it. He really does. As long as we don't need it, we don't have it. I don't have dying grace today. But I'd like to think that if I were to die today, God would give me dying grace when I needed it. You know, Corrie ten Boom likes to tell the story of how she said to her father that she was afraid of death. And he said to her, Corrie, when we go on the train to Amsterdam, when do I give you the ticket to get there? And she said, well, just before I board the train. And he said, that's right. And that's the way God is. He does not give us dying grace in advance. But when the time comes, the grace is there. A young woman who observed the death of her godly father said that in his last months, Dad was spending more time in heaven than he was on earth. And that makes sense. That makes sense. There are some people lying on their deathbed who are prepared to go, who already begin to see the glories of heaven. They begin to contemplate the wonder of what it's going to be like to be with Christ. And they are ready to go. They are dying with the right attitude because they know that death leads them to the Father. There's a second assurance that Christ had, and that is he died at the right time. He died at the right time. You can keep your Bible open to Luke chapter 22, but if you turn to John for just a moment, John chapter 13, Jesus is in the upper room and he's beginning that discourse that all of us know something about. And it says in chapter 13, verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Did you catch the phrase? Jesus, knowing that his hour had come. Three times before this in the book of John, it says that they could not take him because his hour was not yet come. I want you to know that Jesus Christ's enemies were totally paralyzed, powerless, until it was time for the crucifixion to take place. There was no chance that Jesus Christ could die early. As a matter of fact, from the book of John, we learned that he died between the evenings. He died when the Passover lamb was being slain. And because he typified the lamb, he died exactly when the lambs were dying, according to the will and the purposes and the plan of God. And I might say in passing that, remember, he died at the age of 33. Very young certainly by our standards and young also by the standards of the Middle East. Why 33 and not 43 or 53 or 63? Think of all of the sermons he could have preached. Think of all of the miracles he could have still performed, all the more people he could have healed. And yet Jesus at the age of 33 was able to say, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. It is finished. It is finished. I want you to know today that you don't have to live a long life in order to complete all of your assignments that God has given for you to do. Even a child who dies, dies within the will of God and has completed that which God has mapped out for that child. And we may wonder and we might ask questions because it might not make sense to us, but those children are within the will and the plan of God, and they too have finished the work that God has given them to do, primarily the work that they are to do in the lives of their parents who have seen them suffer and die. Because the work that God does when someone whom we love dies is deep and lasting, and those little ones have also finished the work which God has given them to do. Now I know it's possible for us to hasten our death through carelessness, through bad eating habits. We can think of ways that people have compromised their health. But at the end of the day, I want you to know that if you walk in the Spirit, there is no combination of demons or men who can possibly gang up on you. There's no one who can shoot you if God still believes that you have work that He wants you to accomplish and if your work is not yet done. It is really true to say that man is immortal until his work is done. Believers die within the context of God's providence and God's care. Look at Jesus. He was crucified by evil men, and yet it says He was delivered by the predetermined counsel of God, and it says that the Lord was pleased to bruise Him. Are you comfortable living with the juxtaposition of those two theological facts? That on the one hand it is evil men who killed Jesus Christ, and on the other hand it is the Father who bruised Him, and it is the Father who killed Him, and it is Jesus who said, "I lay down my life and I take it again. It is I who lay it down. No man takes it from me." I want you to know that what is true of Him is true of us. We can die with the right attitude, and we will die if we walk with God. We will die at the right time. The right time. Let me give you a third assurance that Jesus had, and that is that He died in the right way. He died in the right way. Could Jesus have been stoned to death? No, because it says in the Old Testament, "Cursed is he who hangs upon a tree," and Jesus had to die on a tree. He had to die on a cross to bear our sin. Therefore, even the means of death was actually ordained. He couldn't have died of a disease, obviously, because He was not sick as the Son of God, but He could not have been stoned. He could not have been shoved off the brow of a hill. He could not have died that way. God ordained the way He was going to die. You say, is that true of believers too? Well, remember John 21? Jesus is speaking to Peter, and He said, "You know, Peter, the day is going to come when you are going to be taken where you don't want to go, and another is going to carry you, and your arms are going to be outstretched." And then the text says, "This He said, signifying by which death He would glorify God." And tradition tells us, you know, that Peter was crucified upside down because he did not believe that he was worthy to be crucified as Jesus Christ was crucified. But here's Peter dying not only at the time that has been specified by Jesus Christ, but even the very manner by which he was to die was foreordained and planned. So God knows what chariot He is going to send for us when it is our time to go. He knows it. He plans it. It is within His will and providence. You know, those of us who believe in the sovereignty of God, and we've emphasized that, and we sang a chorus today emphasizing God's sovereign plan. We believe that our lives are actually in God's hands. And it has sometimes been said, somewhat perhaps tongue-in-cheek, but nonetheless it is true, that if from God's standpoint you are to be hung, you'll never drown. You'll never drown. Because you're going to go as it is appointed for you. Jesus said, "The things that concern me have a divine end." And you look at the way in which He died, and everything was a part of the divine will. It all fit in perfectly, fulfilling the scriptures and the prophecies that had been made. So He died in the right way. He also died with a right commitment. The last words of Jesus, if you still have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 22, you may turn now to 23 and notice what the text says in verse 46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. What a way to go. By the way, do you believe that Jesus Christ descended into hell? You know, the Apostles' Creed says that he descended into hell. That's what the creed says. It did not originally contain those words, and no one knows the exact origin of the Apostles' Creed, though it was around early. In about the 6th century that was added, he descended into hell. That teaching came about because it says in Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, Thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol. And in an earlier message, when I talked about the descent into gloom, we talked about Sheol. But it says, Thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, neither shalt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And that is quoted in Acts chapter 2, where Peter is giving a sermon, and he is proving the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and saying that it is a fulfillment of prophecy, and he quotes that text. And so many people have said, Jesus descended into Sheol, he descended into hell. And then they've gone on from there and they've added a little bit of heresy to it. It's not heresy to believe that Jesus descended into Hades, but I think that does need some interpretation. But the heresy comes in where people have said he descended into hell and he suffered there for us and he took our hell when he died and then he came back on the third day. That's not found anywhere in the scriptures. Jesus Christ took our hell, but he did it on the cross. He did not do it when he died and his spirit went to the Father. I believe personally that Jesus Christ went directly to the Father, even if you think that it necessitates that he descended into Hades, into the bad region of Hades. Remember also there is a good region of Hades. And we learned this from Luke chapter 16, where there was one man who was looking over and Lazarus was talking to the man who was suffering, the rich man who was in Hades. And it seems to me that Jesus possibly went directly to the Father if he did make a stop in the evil part of Hades. It was very brief because he said, Father, into my hands I commit my spirit. And we do have to remember that the word Sheol oftentimes just does mean the grave. But there's room there for theological difference as long as we understand that Jesus Christ paid our penalty on the cross.
Yes, and this is Pastor Lutzer. Jesus Christ committed himself into his Father's hands. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. I've often thought that if I were dying and knew it, one of the things that I would try to do if I had the mental presence to be able to is to contemplate the death of Jesus Christ. And the reason that I say that is because he gave us, in effect, a model of how to die. There he is as the Son of God, and he commits his spirit to the Father, into the hand of his Father, for safekeeping. And that's the way in which we as believers can also pass from this life to the next with confidence that we belong to God forever.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of When God Opens the Curtain for You, the last in his seven-part series called 1 Minute After You Die. Tomorrow, more about how to die like Jesus died. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. The series you're now hearing answers the big questions: life and death, near-death experiences, heaven, hell, and eternity. This series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3, or as a full-length book. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. Please don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. For more about how to face your own death, don't miss tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.